Go to Revelation with me, chapter 3. Look at this. May I read for just a little bit here? Chapter 3, beginning in verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he, help me with this please, he that is what? Holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. And he's saying this to a real church, just like as if he was saying it to us today. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Hallelujah to God. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. You know what my pastor taught me when I got saved? He said, Ray, we were all young kids then, all of us about 20, 25 years of age. And he would say, never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed of Jesus. That's a good thing to teach a young man and young people. Never be ashamed of Jesus. We have tried, Wanda and I and a lot of others, Johnny Kostecki and a lot of the young people who got saved with us. We've tried to never be ashamed of the name of the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look what else he says. Behold, in verse 9, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee, amen, from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now you know where I'm going with this. In Revelation 3 is the open door, Philadelphia. But when you go to chapter 3 and verse 20, the closed door of Laodicea. Just look at it for a moment. Verse 20, please. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Laodicean church said, we have everything. We have no need of any open doors. We're content with our door being closed, and we're right here because look at verse 17. I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. You don't even know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I stand at your door. I'm knocking at your door and you won't even open the door. Open doors, closed doors. Let's pray for just a moment. Lord, would you help me please to preach this morning? Father, thank you for Lakes Pond Baptist Church. Thank you for meeting the need that we just presented. Oh, Lord God. Lord, these churches here in New England have been so good to me and Wanda. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Meter, Pastor Donnie, the people at Lakes Pond, Willimantic, Citywide, all of these churches, Knotty Oak, all of them. Oh, God. Thank you for them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, this morning, would you help us one more time to preach the Word of God, preach the gospel, to exalt Jesus. Bless your church, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open doors, closed doors. Look at this, please. He said in verse number 7, He that hath the key of David. You know, I was looking this up, and back in the book of Jeremiah, it talks about how that God will let Christ be the greater son of David. And God will put Christ on the throne of David. And one day we will not have corrupt politicians. We'll have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as the one who sits on David's throne. And you and I will be there with him. More glory to God. No more elections. No more of any of that nonsense. No more of the unrighteousness. And I'm not saying that there won't be any sin. I know that there'll be some. But our Lord will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and you and I will be with Him. What a glorious time that will be. He who sits on the throne of David. Now, watch this. He said, "He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." When you think about all of the blessings that God has poured out simply because of open doors. When Wanda and I came here, I think it's been around 5 or 6 years or something like that, I called your pastor. Called Pastor Meter, and he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, my name is Ray Hoover. I'm an independent Baptist missionary and missionary in Ethiopia, and we live in Willimantic up on the hill." He said, "Oh, up there, Willimantic Camp Meeting Association?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Okay." So we met. Was it at the Royal Cafe? Royal? I don't remember. But we met it at a place, and it was a Chinese buffet.
Where else?
Where else in Willimantic? Right. So we met there, and God made a David and Jonathan relationship between me and your pastor. I really love Pastor Meter. I really do. And God has put us together, and we started going to Willimantic Baptist Church. Well, I began to meet Israel and Rosa and George and different ones. And Wanda and I begin to fall in love with Willimantic Baptist Church. He says, "You've got to come to Lakes Pond." I said, "Okay." So I came out here, met Pastor Donnie, met some of you. And again, God began to unite us together. And look what God has done. This is the 8th church that we've started. Somebody says, "Well, only 8, well, we've started others, but they've been with other missionaries and other locals. These are 8 that are under our sort of ministry. We help them and work with them. But what God has done, God has opened up doors all over Ethiopia. And now, close to 20 different evangelists that we've helped to train and work with and serve with. And the Lord has opened the doors. Now, He shut some as well. We've had some problems. We've had some guys that have not been very good to us, that have really tried to destroy the ministry, but God has shut the door on them and opened the door for us. Hey, that's our God. You know, did you notice what He said? He said, "I will protect you." Watch in verse number 9. "I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie." There's still some liars out there. There are still some people who would destroy your ministry if they get half a chance. But God opens and closes doors. Because in verse 10, "Thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee." And He has. He has kept us. I want to show you just a couple of things. Go back to Jeremiah, please, chapter 23. We'll come back to Revelation. Jeremiah 23. Look at this. Talking about the where Jesus will sit on the throne of David. Look at this, please. 23, 5, and 6. Jeremiah 23, 5, and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David, what? A righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, what? The Lord our righteousness. In Hebrew and in Amharic as well, it's Tzidkenu. And a lot of times when I preach over there, I'll mention Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. You know, He has taken our sin and given us His righteousness. Changed everything. When I got saved on a Sunday night, and my life was totally changed. I asked the Lord to save me and forgive me. And some of you may have the same testimony. I had a very wicked life. And boy, Jesus just changed everything. And I fell in love with my Savior. I've told you this before. I worked at Ford Motor Company. And boy, this will really get things going. When somebody says, and this man did it, he said, he took the intercom off and he said, "Hoover's got religion." 200 men in that shop, not a single Christian in a whole bunch that I knew about, all reprobates. And boy, God just threw me in. And you know what happened? I realized something. They all needed Jesus just like I did. And God began to give me a mission field right there in the Ford Motor Company in Oklahoma City. You want to do something strange? Tell 200 men, "I'm in love with a man." See what that gets you. I told them I was in love with Jesus, and a lot of them, they were ready to punch my lights out. But oh, how God worked. One man, I've told you this story before, Brother Sonny, big Oklahoma boy, and he discipled me for about 2 years in the Ford Motor Company. Men, don't be afraid to take a Bible and talk to others and try to disciple new believers. I was a new believer. I knew nothing. Nothing at all. And yet Sonny would disciple me and work with me at lunchtime and answer my questions. We went to the mission field. 20 years later, I was in Moore, Oklahoma, outside of Oklahoma City, and I was preaching in a suburban Baptist church. And a big, tall man came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Hi, Brother Ray." I turned around. It was Brother Sonny. He said, "Ray," he said, "thank you. Thank you so much that you challenged me." Because I asked him, I said, "Well, if you're a Christian, why didn't I know it?" Uh-oh. Huh? Well, that really hits home. Why didn't I know it? Why didn't you ever witness to me? Why didn't you ever talk to me? Sonny said, "Brother Ray," he said, "I'm faithful now, and I tell people, never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed of Jesus." And Sonny and I hugged each other in that suburban Baptist church right in the middle of the floor and cried and wept a little bit. And Sonny said, "Ray, thank you. Thank you." He's a faithful man. I don't know if Sonny is still alive or not, But one day he and I will walk the streets of glory together. I'm telling you, listen, God opens and closes doors. And when he opens doors, no man can shut that door. And when he shuts a door, no man can open it. Boy, thank God for open doors. Now, go back, if you would, to Revelation 3. But this time, would you look over at the Laodicean church? Now, that Philadelphian church, brethren, think about this. This is like our churches today. God opens doors and God places new opportunities. And that those 50 chairs you've bought today, I hope and pray that they're filled up in a month's time. I don't care whether it's a month or a week or 2 months or whatever, but I hope they're all filled up and people are saved because you took care of a need. Thank God for that. Open doors, open doors. But look at this now. Here's another church. Would you begin in verse number 14? And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Now he said that to the Philadelphia church as well. But he saw good works. Now look what he says about their works. I know thy works, that thou art neither, help me with it, cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. That's what he's saying. Boy, that's bad. That's bad when the Lord himself says, your life is so terrible, I can't even stand you. I'll spit you out of my mouth. Would you want that? Anybody want that? Of course not. I would never want that. Now, I've eaten some food that I would have spit out of my mouth if I could have. I've got a picture of me eating some homemade food. It's country style yogurt. It sits out for a few days till it ferments. And then they serve it to you about lukewarm temperature. And that stuff is bad news. I was in a home, honest to goodness, brother. I was in a home. I've got a picture of it. I'll show it to you. I was smiling, trying to say, oh, God, help me that. Swallow this stuff. And I took a spoonful of it. Pastor, I really did. I got it down, but a little while later it came back up. But the Lord said, man, I would spew you out of my mouth. So then, because thou art lukewarm. I don't know of anything that's lukewarm that's any good. I don't know of anything. Well, look at what he said. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, now watch this, I am rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. What a hypocrite. What a hypocritical church. I have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art what? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. You think you have everything, and honest to goodness, if you could see you the way I see you, you have nothing. There are churches that way. There are churches that they don't want any open doors. They don't want any of the Lord's blessings. Oh, we've got our nice little, we've got this, we've got that. And by the way, don't mess it up. You know, we paid for it. We don't do anything. Listen, brethren, if you've got a building, for heaven's sakes, use it. If you've got a chair, fill it up. If you've got a pulpit, use it. If you've got something, use it for the glory of God. And if the thing gets broken, replace it and use it again. That's the idea of a real church. It's not some what would you say? Something that you just gaudy and you look at it and, oh, it's so beautiful. Do you ever use it? No. I just look at it. Well, that's kind of the way this thing was in the Laodicean church. Look what Jesus says. I counsel thee, in verse 18, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. As many as I love. You know, Jesus loved Judas Iscariot. Jesus loved Peter when he denied him. Jesus loved Thomas when he doubted. By the way, Jesus loves you and me when we mess up. It's not just them over there, those out there, that bunch of, no. We need to look right in here and realize, hey, we could be in the same boat, my friend, if it weren't for the grace of God. And if it weren't for surrendered hearts and preachers who preach. Your pastors preach. I know it. Both of them. They preach. Your Sunday school teachers teach. You people are good people. You have good teaching, sound teaching, strong teaching. I know all that. But what I'm saying is, even those who don't, God still loves them if they're His. So look at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door is what? Open or closed? Closed. Boy. The door is shut. I wonder if he ever gets tired of knocking on a closed door. Huh? I wonder. I would after a while. I think I might walk away after a while. But you and I aren't the Lord, and He's long-suffering, and He continues on the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But look at this. If any man hears my voice, not only is he knocking, saying, anyone there? Maybe. Tenestalin, anyone there? Salamno, anyone there? Hello, 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 anyone there? If any man hears my voice and opens the door. Now the Lord opens doors, but here he says, and opens the door, the man has to open the door from the inside. The church has to open the door. Lord Jesus, come in. What if you have a door? You open it just a little bit. You peek out. Who's there? Oh, that's the Lord. Oh, shut the door. Don't let him see. You can fill in the blanks. Don't let him see what's inside. Don't let him see why that door is shut. Oh, God help us. God help us if there's any closed doors like that in your life. Brethren, please open the door. Open the door. Open the door. Let Jesus in. Notice what he says. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's not just these physical things up here on our head. It's the ears of your heart and your soul. Man, open up. Women, open up. Church, open up. You say, Brother Ray, I'm there with you. I am open to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God for that. But there are so many that, listen, they haven't gotten to that point yet. They are still out there and things are still closed. Let God open up. Just say, Lord, take me. Use me. Oh God, open up my heart. I read in 1 Corinthians 16 where it said, a great door and an effectual door is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. And there are a lot of adversaries. Boy, may not be demonism like what we face a lot. May be family, may be friends, could be co-workers, a lot of adversaries. But you know what? God can turn the adversary's hearts just like He did you and me. God can do that. And you and I, if we'll just let Him, if we'll just put our eyes on Calvary and say, oh God, please, Lord, help me to always thank You for what You did for me. Help me to always thank You for the blood that was shed for me. Help me to always be thankful for a changed life. Oh God, help me never to forget. And then, Lord, just open up my life. Just come in. Lord, I want You to be Lord and Savior of my life. I read something the other day. It was talking about how that Jesus wants to be Lord of our lives. You know, I have prayed many times, probably hundreds of times, Lord, be Lord of my life. And I said once again, Lord, if there's any area where that You're not Lord of my life, please be Lord of my life. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Take control. Listen, I don't know how the driving is in Peru. You were in Peru. Was it this year? Last year. I don't know how the driving is over there. But the driving in Ethiopia is bad. I mean, it is really bad. And sometimes I'll lose my temper when I'm driving my car. I'm sure you don't do that. But sheep, goats, cows, bulls, donkeys, everything, people, all on the road at the same time with taxis driving as fast as they can, and you're there trying to get through it all. Sometimes I'll lose my temper. Oh, Brother Ray, surely you don't. Well, surely I do. And, you know, I'm not going to cuss them out or anything like that, but sometimes you sure feel like it. And you just, you know, after a few minutes of that, many times I have pulled over to the side of the road and I'll say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Boy, my thought life was terrible back there. I could have killed that guy. And I would have if I could have gotten a hold of him. And, you know, you just, hey, I'm confessing now. I'm saying that 100% of the time, I want the Lord as the Lord of my life. But is He? Well, sometimes, no. There are areas where He's not. And I'll back up and say, oh God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me for that nonsense. Forgive me. I'm glad I couldn't reach that guy. I would have done something I'd have regretted forever. But there are times like that. Open your life. Have it as the door, leave it open. Lord, work in my life. Help me. Now, you may be here this morning, and your life may be closed in a lot of areas. There's a God in heaven who wants to come in. Amen? He wants to. He wants to come in and take that life where that there's closed areas, closed doors, where that, God, You can have everything except this little part over here. I'll open it up. Open it up. You'll never be happy until you do. Open it up. Let God have you 100%. You know what you'll find? Peace. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you, not like the world gives. My peace I give unto you." You'll find hope. You'll find help. You'll find strength. Pastor Donnie, I like that song that you sang this morning where that God shows the way. He knows the way. He just provides the way in everything. He does it. And He will in your life this morning. Would you pray with me for just a few minutes, please? I want to give you an opportunity to think about something. Lord, is my life open or closed to you? What is it? What is it? Open or closed? Is it open or closed to my God and my Savior? Lord Jesus, here we are as your people. Or maybe someone here today who's not a believer. They're unsaved. Oh God, if that's the case, please work in their heart. Oh God, work in their heart. Open it up, just like you did Lydia. Opened up to the gospel message. Oh Lord Jesus, when you died and was buried and resurrected from the dead, you opened up people's hearts. And you're still doing it today. If there's one here today that's unsaved, oh God, open their heart. Come into them. Lord Jesus, save that soul and bring them and make them a child of God. Help them to be born again this very morning. For those of us who are believers, maybe there's some areas in our life that are closed. Oh God, open us up, Lord. Open us up and use us for your honor and for your glory. Lord, thank you. Bless your dear people. Help us now, O God. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.